In the Warren County Radio Bible School today, we have come to the last part of a Sunday school lesson about that time Sennacherib besieged Jerusalem and how God put a hook in Sennacherib's nose and brought him back the way he came. I want to read the lesson text and then we'll get into Elam's notes on this text. But first, let me read to you from the book of Isaiah, chapter 37. Verses 36 through 38. The angel of the Jehovah went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when the men arose early in the morning, behold, these were all dead bodies. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. And it came to pass, as he was worshipping in the house of Nirosh, his god, that Adrammelech and Sheezer, his sons, smote him with the sword. And they escaped into the lands of Ararat, and Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his stead. Now we're going to look at Elam's notes on that in just a moment. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And the Sunday school lesson we're studying was prepared by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of December the 11th, 1927. Of that text that we have just read, Elam writes, Jehovah sent an angel who cut off all the mighty men of valor and the leaders and the captains in the camp of the king of Assyria. That night, after Hezekiah's reception of that blasphemous letter, the angel of Jehovah went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when the men arose early in the morning, behold, these were all dead bodies. The Assyrian camp was at once broken up, and Sennacherib, in haste, returned with shame of face to his own land. God did this to dishonor Sennacherib. When God did this suddenly, it does not follow that he used no means. We know not what means he used, if any. Sennacherib returned to Nineveh, and according to history, lived after this about 17 years and was slain by his sons Adrammelech and Sharezer with the sword while worshiping in the house of Nirosh his god. This lesson shows the efficacy and power of prayer. Faith, humility, reverence, and submission to God are essential elements in acceptable prayer. Thus God saved Hezekiah and Jerusalem and girded them on every side. Hezekiah was greatly honored, and the land again bloomed with prosperity. And at the end of this is a little rhyme written by John W. Travis. I'm going to call it a poem here. It's enough lines to call this a poem. And it's about being careful what you say. In speaking of a person's faults, pray don't forget your own. Remember, those with homes of glass should seldom throw a stone. If we have nothing else to do than talk of those who sin, 'tis better we commence at home and from that point begin. We have no right to judge a man until he's fairly tried. Should we not like his company? We know the whole world wide. Some may have faults, and who has not? The old as well as young. Perhaps we may, for aught we know, have 50 to their one. Then let us all, when we begin to slander friend or foe, think of the harm one word may do to those we little know. Remember, curses sometimes, like our chickens, roost at home. Don't speak of others' faults until we have none of our own. I turn the page, and what we have here is a review lesson. Because we've been talking about the early prophets of Israel. The golden text of this review lesson, and by the way, this review was for the Sunday schools of December the 18th, 1927. And in this review, the golden text is Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. God, having of old time spoken unto the fathers and the prophets by the divers portions and in divers manners, hath in the end of these days spoken unto us by his Son. Let me review a little bit some of the prophets we studied. Elijah on Mount Carmel, Amos's plea for justice, Hosea's proclamation of God's love, Micah as he championed the oppressed, the call of Isaiah, and Isaiah preaching for repentance. The devotional reading is the 67th Psalm. Let me read that to you. It has this superscription, for the chief musician on stringed instruments, a psalm or a song. God be merciful unto us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah, that thy way may be known upon the earth, thy salvation among the nations. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou wilt judge the peoples with equity, and govern the nations upon the earth. Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the peoples praise thee. The earth hath yielded its increase. God, even our own God, will bless us. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. There's another poem at the end of this little review. How many days might lose their gloom, how many nights their sorrow, if we should wait to criticize until a kindlier morrow. At night oft changes hate to love. A taunt, if left unspoken, may change to sympathy and cheer and keep a heart unbroken. How many tears we might be spared, how many hours of sadness, if men should utter only good and speak but cheer and gladness. A word may break a lonely heart, or save a life that's broken. Then let all evil words be stilled, and only good be spoken. Now the last Sunday school lesson for the year of 1927 comes from a passage in Luke. This Sunday happened to fall on December 25th, the day we commonly call Christmas Day. Now, the passage is Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And it says this, there were shepherds in the same country abiding in the field and keeping watch by night over their flock. And an angel of the Lord stood by them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this is the sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men, in whom he is well pleased. And it came to pass, when the angels went away from them into heaven, The shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. And they came with haste, and found both Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known concerning the saying which was spoken to them about this child. And all that heard it wondered at the things which were spoken unto them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these sayings, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all things that they had heard and seen, even as it was spoken unto them. The golden text is Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for it is he that shall save his people from their sins. Now there's a geographical note to this lesson about Bethlehem. Joseph went from Nazareth in Galilee, a distance of about 80 miles to the south. And because he was of the house and family of David, and Bethlehem was the city of David, Bethlehem means house of bread. It was an old city, 6 miles south of Jerusalem. Its early name was Ephrath, or Ephratah. Here Jacob buried his beloved Rachel. Here Ruth lived after her famous decision to cling to Naomi. And here she gleaned from the grain fields of Boaz. Here David was born and reared. Here he learned to sing psalms. And here as a shepherd lad he fed his father's flocks more than 1,000 years before the birth of the great shepherd and bishop of our souls. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, which art little to be among the thousands of Judea, out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler of Israel, whose going forths are from old and everlasting. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, that is stated as being fulfilled in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 6. And the time had come for this in our lesson. There was a Bethlehem in Zebulun. It is mentioned but once in the book of Joshua, chapter 19 and verse 15. But then we read about Jerusalem. After David captured Jerusalem from the Jebusites, it was called the City of David. There he reigned as king over all Israel and Judah for 33 years, and there he was buried. He reigned over Judah and Hebron 7 years and 6 months. Now here's some things that will be helpful for the teacher of this lesson. Elam tells the teacher, call attention to what a wonderful event the coming of the Son of God into the world was, the very greatest in the history of the world. God manifest in the flesh. Reckoning time from the birth of Jesus did not begin until several hundred years after his birth. And it has been agreed by those who have studied the question that a mistake of 4 years was made, which places his birth in the year B.C. 4, as has been stated at the beginning of the book. Herod the Great is one of the people we read about early in Jesus' life. There's actually 7 Herods mentioned in the New Testament. Herod the king in Matthew 2 and verse 1. Archelaus, his son and successor, Matthew 2 and verse 22. Herod Antipas, tetrarch of Galilee, Matthew 14, 1. The son of Herod the Great. Herod Philip the First and another son of Herod the Great, lawful husband of Herodias, who was his half-niece, Luke 3 and verse 19. Herod Philip II, Luke 3 and verse 1. Son of Herod the Great, he built Caesarea Philippi and married Salome, his brother Philip's daughter, the girl who danced before Herod Antipas. Herod Agrippa I, son of Aristobulus, the grandson of Herod the King, who beheaded James and seized Peter with the purpose of killing him, and who was eaten of worms, and then Herod Agrippa, before whom Paul spake.